Welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation on forgiveness. We are so glad you're here with us under the fig tree.
Park here for a second.
Okay.
Judge not.
Yeah.
So don't judge to a standard that you're not willing to be held to. So a lot of times people, yeah, no, we're believers. We shouldn't be judging. That's not true.
That's not true at all.
So again, this book was written for us, but it wasn't written to us.
Right.
So who was it written to? It was written to the ancient Hebrews
yes.
at that time. So we have to find out what it meant at that time.
Yes.
You had three different types of judgments back then, right? At least three. But the main, I'll talk about three main types of judgment. You had civil judgment, which we know he wasn't talking about that because he even talks about what happens when you go to court.
Right.
So he wasn't talking about that.
Right.
You had the judgment between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And then you also had the judgment between the worth of a person.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So obviously we know he's not talking about the judgment between civil
right.
and all that kind of stuff because we still have civil courts and That's stuff right. like that. We're never supposed to judge the worth of someone.
That's right.
Only God does that. So what else was he talking about?
Right
he had
and
to
wrong.
Be talking about right and wrong.
Yeah.
And how can you not judge
right.
right and wrong?
Right.
It's just you have to judge to the level that you're willing to be judged.
That's right.
Now, when you do all that, honestly, holding that standard
yeah.
and living to that standard,
yeah.
it's going to help you in the forgiveness process. One thing, and I hate to do this, Bruce, because I got all kind of random thoughts coming through my head. Paul lays out this thing, man, and he starts running through this whole list of actions that people were involved in, and you know, the sinners and all this, you know, the adulterers and all that, and he says, which some of you were.
Right.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
You were living this lifestyle. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When I quote that scripture, I always add Bruce's version. I put, when I say it, which some of you were, not too very long ago. I just throw that in there just to mess with people.
I love
some
it.
Some of you were not too very
not
long
too long ago.
And
I think if we remember that, compassion has to come to your heart.
Yeah.
Because the only way you were forgiven was compassion came to his heart.
Yes.
And that's,
yes.
I think that's where we got to be.
That's so good. I got another one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another. Mm-hmm. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive.
It says must.
Must. So we keep seeing, we keep being pointed back to our example
sure.
as the Lord,
mm-hmm.
as the Lord has forgiven you,
Absolutely.
As the Lord, how, as he's handled you,
mm-hmm.
as we keep being pointed back to that, you know what I'm saying? Pointed back to him because, and I think, I process it like this because he already knows that if he doesn't keep pointing mm-hmm. us back to Jesus as the example, we can really go off the rails when it comes to. You know what I'm saying?
We'll come up with our own interpretation.
We'll come up with our own thing.
Yeah. So I love that. As he has forgiven you. As he has forgiven you.
That's exactly right. As. Let me go back to Ephesians 4 for a minute.
Let's do it.
Okay. You read, what did we read so far?
31 and 32.
31 and 32. I'm going to back up to 25.
Okay.
Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
For we are members one of another. And I love this because everybody kind of knows 26. Be angry and sin not.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Why you had to bring that up?
Oh, I'm not finished. Verse 27. And give no place or opportunity to the devil. Ooh. I think this is big boy, big girl talk.
I got beef with people right now. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's so funny, man. Why you read that, yeah. man? I got beef with people, man. I'm not ready to do this. Be angry, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or on your anger. And then give no place or no opportunity to the devil. Man. Look, in 2024 language, let it go.
immediately.
Just let it go and let it go again. Yeah, and let it go again and let it go again.
That whole festering. Ugh. You know, if you don't let it go, it will begin to fester. It's like that wound you talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. I apologize when I cut you for swinging the knife and stuff like that, but you're like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And I wish you hadn't have done that.
Right.
How could you do that? And you keep doing that's not helping the wound at all.
It doesn't heal.
No, it's not helping at all.
Yeah.
But the forgiveness of it, you know, my father taught me this a long time ago. He said, son, when the devil makes a suggestion for you to do something, he doesn't really want you to do it right then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do it right then. Yeah. He gets a small victory.
Yeah.
But if he can get you to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that seed that was planted begins to grow roots.
Yeah.
And once it grows roots, then it grows its own kind of fruit.
Right.
Right. And then it becomes behavior. It becomes your character. It messes you all up because you pondered it. This is kind of how that unforgiveness goes, right?
That's so right.
When you don't forgive, then there's a seed of bitterness that's planted.
Yeah.
And going back to what you talked about in verse 31, Ephesians 4:31, you go in that progression from bitterness to, eventually to malice and all that kind of stuff.
And all that stuff, wrath, anger, clamor, slander,
Slander.
I know Troy wasn't no good when I first met him.
He got shifty eyes.
Look, he got shifty eyes and... He was okay when we first met, but see, that's what people do though. They let it fester.
Yeah, man.
And you know, and you take a 10-year, 15, 20-year relationship and then something happens and it festers.
Yeah.
When according to the word of God, you do it quickly.
Yes.
You do it quickly, you know, if you have aught with your brother.
Make the decision quick.
You know what I'm saying? Do it quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that, I mean, that's just how we're supposed to live, man.
Yeah, I know, the forgiveness one to another, right?
Yep.
I forgive you, you forgive me, but then there's that third component.
Let's talk about it.
Forgiving yourself.
Mm-mm.
So
would you say that's the hardest one?
I do.
I believe you.
I do.
I believe it.
So I say the three components, it's probably four, okay? So I forgive you.
Yeah.
You forgive me, which I have no control over.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to explain to people. Once you ask for forgiveness, it's out of your hands.
Right.
You have no control over that. I think the first level of forgiveness that people have to recognize is forgiveness from the Father.
Yeah.
That's already happened.
Right.
That's forgiveness you just simply receive.
Right.
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 Sometimes that's difficult for people because they realize what they've done.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people, right?
Yeah.
But the Father has already forgiven you.
Yes.
You simply receive the forgiveness and repent from what you've done and move on with your life, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Once I ask for forgiveness again to another person that I've offended, it's out of my hands. I've done my part. If they ask me or not for forgiveness, but once I forgive, then I've done my part, right?
Uh-huh.
That last level, forgiving yourself, this is why that's so difficult. Because if you did something to me and I never see you again, and I forgive you, right?
Yeah.
I never have to look at myself every day.
Yeah, right.
And know what I've done.
Right.
I believe that's why that's probably the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because you know what you've done. In fact, when I'm really thinking about it, that's the one thing that hurts us from receiving forgiveness from the Father is because we know what we've done. Because we haven't forgiven ourselves.
Right, sure.
And I believe once you learn to forgive yourself, even though you have to live with yourself, you have to live with the consequences of those actions.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it limits your ability to forgive. I believe what it does, it inhibits you at times to be able to forgive yourself because you're currently going through the consequence. Great case, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do something illegal.
Yeah.
You've already asked for forgiveness from everybody else, including God, but you're still in jail.
Right.
And every day you have to go through the routine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you're having to live this over and over. I'm here because of this. I'm here because of this.
Right.
And that would make it very difficult to forgive yourself
because
you have to live with the consequences. So I think that level of forgiveness is really tough for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good, man. Man, that's awesome. I got another one. Mark 11:25.
Okay.
And whenever you stand praying, forgive.
Oh, boy.
And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
So forgiveness should be a natural part of prayer.
It even, I'd go a step further and say that forgiveness is almost an entryway to prayer. When you read it, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Are we living in this place where it's interesting, man, because there's a dynamic there. We know that our sins have been forgiven and that we're saved.
Sure.
But there's another dynamic here that still, we're still held accountable as a saved person, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to continually live in this place of forgiveness so that we can continually be forgiven. You mentioned it earlier, on the same level.
Yeah.
We determine that level that we want to be forgiven by how we forgive, if I can say it like that. That's what I get out of that. So that. So I could say, well, Jesus, I love you. I can't stand anybody. I love you, Jesus. I can't stand people. And, you know, and that might, you know, you might make it in, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you lose all the rest of the stuff, man, because he's like, no, man, I want you to learn how to forgive. I want you to, you know, I really need for you to be okay with people. Well, I love you, Jesus. I just can't stand people. Oh, we're having too much fun with this, man. It. But it says, so that when you stand praying, forgive. That is it. Okay, there's another scripture. Where is it? You're familiar with the scripture that talks about laying your offering on the altar?
Yeah, I was hoping you didn't get to that.
Yeah. let's see. Here it is. Matthew 25,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man.
So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. This is fascinating to me because it doesn't say you're offering your gift and you have something in your heart. Mm-hmm. It says you're offering your gift and you know that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's incredible to me.
It is.
Why does he say that like that?
Well, here's the thing, okay? And this is what I believe. And let me see. How can I say this without making a bunch of pastors angry? The forgiveness component is greater than the financial obligation. Did I say obligation? I meant to say offering. They both start with O.
Okay. we're gonna let that one slide.
So yeah, I think that's why it's written that way. The forgiveness is more important.
Remember what I said earlier? I alluded to, I believe that there's a dynamic where if you're holding somebody out, right?
Yeah.
You're not willing to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that there's a dynamic that works in that situation where the person that you refuse to forgive, let me say it like this, get it straight with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it like that. Reconcile with. Maybe I'll use that language because that's the language that's used in Matthew 5. The person you refuse to reconcile with possibly affects the results of your giving.
Well,
because this is fascinating to me, man, because he says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. Why would he say that like that? If your gift if the offering of your gift wasn't tainted because of a situation that you know of that hasn't been reconciled yet. Now, I might be, you know, I might be stretching it a little bit or pulling on some straws, but I'm just saying that's kind of how that reads to me.
I don't think you're stretching it at all.
That's kind of how that reads to me.
I think that's pretty interesting. It's a good point to bring up. I'm kind of chewing on it.
Yeah, because we can hang out there, but it's just interesting because once again, it's like the scripture I mentioned earlier about, you know, the sin, whose sins you retain are retained.
Yeah.
And whose sins you release, you know, are released, you know. I think you could even throw in, the legal terms of the scripture that talks about whatsoever you bind. Mm-hmm. I think you could even maybe throw that in there. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I think there may be an argument to be made even for that in relation to forgiveness.
Well, I know that's true. I believe the word, Greek word for forgiveness, it's like a phesis, a phesis or something like that. Mm-hmm. And part of that definition means to release.
Yeah. Yeah.
To pardon, to release. Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right on with that.
Yeah. 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 It's a good thought. Now imagine being in a courtroom, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
You've committed the deed.
Mm-hmm.
The judge decides it's your first infraction. I'll tell you what we're gonna do. I'm gonna let you go. I think you're a good guy. I think you got a good heart. I'm not gonna send you to jail.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you go. I'm going to release you.
Release you. Yep.
And now you're free.
Yeah, I like that.
You see, you walk out. No chains, no handcuffs, not even probation.
Free.
You're free.
Yeah.
What does that feel like? Wow.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
When you know you were dead to rights.
Especially when you know you were dead to rights.
Yeah.
Guilty.
I love it. I love it.
And he says, you know what? I'm feeling quite generous today.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you're a detriment to the society. I think you've learned your lesson. I've watched movies where the judge does exactly that, and he says, you know what? I already know that you're going to beat yourself up. You made that point earlier.
Correct.
You're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Correct.
I'm choosing not to add anything on to that because I already know you're going to beat yourself up.
Yeah.
That's that difficulty with forgiving oneself,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you got those dynamics where, yeah, but it feels wonderful to be free.
Yeah, there is so much freedom and that comes with forgiveness. And you have to remember this for everybody listening. It doesn't matter what country you're listening in. Don't care what denomination you ascribe to. And I'm specifically speaking to the followers of Christ. You have to recognize the freedom for yourself, not in just being forgiven, but the freedom in yourself for being able to forgive.
Yeah.
Not carrying that weight. Grudges are heavy.
Grudges are very heavy.
Grudges are heavy.
They are.
And you have to, when you hold a grudge, you actually have to do that. You have to hold it. How many can you hold before you break? The truth of the matter is this, and some people may or may not know this. Some people may have experienced it. Unforgiveness will break you down physically.
Yes, it will.
When you hold on to those things.
Yes, it will.
It will break you down physically. And dare I say, it might even kill you.
Yeah. No, that's such a great point, man. Oh, my goodness. People we have dealt with over the years that had physical ailments, people that wanted prayer.
Yeah.
And the Lord would tell me to tell them, you need to forgive your sister, your mom, your dad,
yeah,
your whoever, your attacker. That's a tough one.
That is tough.
That's a tough one.
That is tough.
But there's times when the Lord has, you know, given me a word of knowledge. They're sick
mm-hmm.
because of unforgiveness.
Oh, man.
And they think they haven't associated it with unforgiveness. So they think, let me come up for prayer and just get the magic, you know, the magical touch. No, it doesn't work like that.
No. If you're holding on to that, and that's the root cause of it, until you eliminate
your
root.
You can pray all day.
Yeah.
You can get everybody to lay hands on you.
Yep.
And it's not going to change.
It won't.
I will tell you this. I have laid hands on people and they've recovered temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing comes back.
Because the root's still there.
Because the root's still there because it was about they need to deal with the unforgiveness.
Yeah, man.
Now that's fascinating to me.
You get some temporary relief.
You get some temporary relief, but it comes back because the root's still there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it goes down like that, but I do. We would be derelict in what we're trying to accomplish and what God wants us to accomplish in this podcast if we did not mention the physical restraints and the physical ramifications that unforgiveness can have on a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at least opening people's eyes to the possibility that what you're going through could be the result of the root of unforgiveness.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it's, to your point, Bruce, and I think this is a good way to kind of button everything, you forgive your attackers, right?
Yeah.
Even the ones that attacked you.
Yeah.
That's important because we go back to our example, and he's hanging there on the cross. You know?
Yes, I do. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And
the same ones that were trying to kill him. His attackers.
Yep.
I think once you fast forward just a little bit, one of our favorite guys, Stephen.
Yeah.
Being stoned.
Yeah.
Stoned to death.
Yep.
But what does he do as he's being stoned to death? He adopts the same mentality.
Yep.
As his example.
Yep.
Forgive him.
Forgive him.
Don't hold it to their charge.
Right.
You know? To the point that he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing.
Yeah.
Mind you, the Bible says he's seated on the right hand of the Father.
Right. But he stands up. For Stephen.
To acknowledge what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful image of what forgiveness looks like to God.
Yeah.
When you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's a great way to button this whole thing up.
Absolutely love it, man. This is good stuff.
I want to make one last statement, Troy.
Yes, sir.
I think it's really, really important to say. I just want you to know that I forgive you for going into the Air Force. If you knew better, you would have done better, but you went into the Air Force and I just wanted to make sure that
I will see you and all the other Army guys at the Golden Corral on November 11th with everyone else.
Oh, man.
I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us here
under the fig tree.